The Old Testament reading for the festival of the Holy Trinity is from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were together, he called seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creepy things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the gospel lesson which was just read. Our sermon title is, We All Believe in One God. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know the one thing that unites you with all Christians around the world and throughout history? Do you know The one thing about which Martin Luther said, that's about the only thing the monks and the popes didn't mess up. Do you know what that one thing is? It is your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is based on our gospel lesson for today. Your baptism. Our gospel lesson is a beautiful statement of the gospel and baptism. And the most wonderful part is that Jesus proclaims, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This means that the Jesus of Nazareth, whom you know through the stories of the Gospels, is in fact the Almighty God. The Jesus whom you love, in whom you have seen kindness, patience, and all the virtues, is the same all-powerful God who created the world, as we heard in the Old Testament, and who rules the universe today, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that is why he commanded his church to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The baptismal confession of God's names in Matthew 28:19 is important because without that we might only believe in Jesus. See, Jesus is the only divine person that we humans have seen and experienced in a normal mode of consciousness. The Father did not reveal himself to human eyes, except for a few prophetic visions, which are not exactly normal consciousness, given to Isaiah chapter 6, Ezekiel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 7, and St. John, Revelation chapter 4. To everybody else, including Abraham, Moses, and Elijah, the Father spoke from behind a curtain, as it were, of fire, smoke, or darkness. The Spirit, for his part, was revealed to human eyes in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism, in the form of flames at Pentecost. But the Spirit himself said nothing. Only Jesus was Emmanuel, that is, God with us, the one divine person who came into history and who was seen and heard and touched by hundreds of thousands of people. After his ascent into heaven, the apostles obeyed Jesus' command that's in our gospel, and they established churches throughout the Roman Empire by baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They also ordained ministers to continue that work, such as Barnabas and Silas, Titus and Timothy, who were faithful administrators of this baptism and faithful teachers of their faith. There is no evidence that there were questions about this faith until the end of the first century. And by that time, the apostolic churches had adopted a creed that was very similar to our Apostles' Creed. It was an explanation of the three persons into whom people were to be baptized, when they call it a baptismal creed, therefore. In the first century, adult converts and sponsors of children would say something like this before being baptized. And here I quote, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Christ Jesus, his only Son, our Lord, who was born from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, who under Pontius Pilate was crucified and buried, on the third day rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the flesh, and the life everlasting. And I want to be baptized into this faith." And that is a direct quote from the old Roman creed that we have in manuscript in the second century. So we know that at least by that time, the death of John, that people were confessing that faith, very similar to the Apostles' Creed, when they were baptized. And here we see our unity with the ancient church in baptism, the three names of the Trinity, and the basic content of the Apostles' Creed. See, our church does not start in 1500, 1600 AD with Martin Luther. It goes all the way back to the time of the apostles. At the end of the apostolic era, when all the apostles had been martyred for their faith except John, there were new preachers and teachers who arose who did not confess this faith. They taught other things about Jesus or about the Trinity. St. John, before he died, warned the church about these heretics in his first epistle. I quote, "Little children, it is the last hour. Just as you have heard that the man opposed to Christ is coming, even now we see that many men opposed to Christ have appeared. This is how we know that it is the last hour. Who is the liar but the Christian who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? He is opposed to Christ who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess this is not of God. This is the spirit of opposition to Christ, which you heard was coming, and it is now already in the world." That quote is from 1 John 2, verses 18, 22, 23, and chapter 4, 2-3. From the time of John's death until Constantine, the emperor, the Christian church was in constant turmoil as heretics vied for the attention and the money of the faithful in the Christian church. They were opposed by preachers whom we now call the fathers of the church, and they are recognized as saints by the Roman and Orthodox churches. The fathers who upheld the teaching of the apostles about Jesus and the Trinity against the heretics included these men: Polycarp, Ignatius, Irenaeus, Justin Martyr, Tertullian, and many others. That's just the beginning. After his conversion to the faith, the Roman Emperor, Constantine, observed how the life and mission of the church was being undermined by heretics and the confusion that resulted from their teaching. So the emperor called together all of the bishops of the church to the first general council of the church at Nicaea, near the ancient city of Troy, in 325 AD. That would be in the upper northwest corner of the modern state of Turkey. He ordered the bishops to come up with a statement of faith about Jesus and the Trinity that would be universally accepted and which excluded the errors of the heretics. The result was the Nicene Creed, which in its revised version of 381 AD is still used and confessed by the Roman Catholic, Orthodox, and many Protestant churches today. And we recite the Nicene Creed almost every Sunday. Lutherans believe that all people who confess the Nicene Creed in all its parts are truly and properly Christians, even if they err in other doctrines of the scriptures. But this does not mean that everybody who claims to be Christian, they use that name, truly are, since not all people accept the creeds. Those who reject the doctrines of the Nicene Creed include these churches: Mormons, Christadelphians, Jehovah's Witnesses, Unitarians, Swedenborgians, Christian Science, Iglesia in Cristo, the Most Holy Church of God in Christ, the Unification Church, Oneness Pentecostals, the United Pentecostal Church International, the True Jesus Church, Binitarians such as the Living Church of God, and the liberal Protestants whose theology and beliefs can be traced to Friedrich Schleiermacher, Albrecht Ritschl, or Karl Barth. We would not consider any of these to be Christians. Of course, non-Christians, such as Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and atheists, they would never pretend to be Christians, much less believe in the Trinity and the divinity of Jesus. Now, I cannot tell you what the coming century will bring in terms of world religions and churches claiming to be Christian. We could be heading toward a great renewal of the faith of Nicaea among all Christian churches, or maybe a renewal in other countries, or we could be heading toward a time in which only a very few, very small churches still proclaim and believe the faith of the apostles. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not going to guess. Whatever happens, don't be fooled by persuasive words, by emotional revivals, or by impressive ceremonies. Test all things against the scriptures and against the creeds. And remain faithful to your baptism in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.